But thank you again for being with us this morning. Luke chapter number 24 this morning. Luke chapter number 24. Thank you for everyone who cooked food this morning and came out. The food was wonderful. If you left hungry, that's your fault. Don't blame us. I told somebody this morning, that's why I'm a Baptist, because I like potlucks. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Luke chapter number 24 this morning. Terrible. Let's pray and we'll get right into the message. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, thank you for these young people this morning willing to put in the hours of practice, Lord, they did, and what a wonderful job they did, the musicians, the leaders there. Thank you for Miss Crystal, Lord, putting in her time and prayer life, Lord, into that. Lord, it's a good thing, God, that we don't serve a dead Savior. I'm thankful, God, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. But, Lord, I'm thankful he didn't stay dead. And, Lord, more than that, he's not going to stay gone. And I ask you this morning, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil off this place today, Lord. Meet with us in a mighty way, Lord. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self, Lord. Fill me with your Spirit this morning. Allow me to preach, Lord, only what will honor and glorify you. And, Lord, please let your people hear from you this morning, not from me. I just want to be a messenger this morning, delivering an all-important message, Lord. I thank you, God, for what you've done for us already. Now bless the reading of your word. Lord, you said your word will not return void, and I thank you for it. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Luke chapter number 24, we'll start in verse number 1. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices, which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone, what, folks? Rolled away. How many thankful the stone was rolled away? Amen. Amen. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified. And the third day, what, folks? Rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles, and their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. I want to show you a few things this morning that the Lord has showed me. And something that really blew my mind as I read this over and over again, it seems here often, the Lord is showing me some things that I've read hundreds of times. And, you know, sometimes if you really stop and study and ask the Lord to show you something, he'll show you something. And there's some important things in this message this morning that I think definitely helped me, and I think it'll help you. If you'll listen up and give the Lord just a few minutes of your time, we'll get you out of here. And Lord willing, you and your families will go on about your day and enjoy a good family day. Amen. But Luke chapter 24 and verse 1. It kind of, I noticed something here. The Bible says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. Can I tell you, the preparation for the supposed dead Savior. Folks, did you know that Jesus Christ told them he was going to die? Does everybody know that? He told them he was going to be buried, but he didn't say that it ended there, did he? He very clearly told his disciples and all these women that he would rise again on the what? The third day. But here we have a group of people that were very close to Jesus. Now some of us might say, I think I'm pretty close to Jesus. But in reality, we're living just like them. We're living in a day and age where we are living and acting like we're serving a dead Jesus. That's what's wrong with our churches. That's what's wrong with our world. That's what's wrong with our country. We do not believe that Jesus Christ is indeed alive. We have no problem with the fact that he died for my sins. Thank God he did that. But listen, he did not stay dead, he rose in resurrection power for you and for me and for these ladies and for these men whom he told face to face, I'm going to rise again on the third day. Yet they spent 3 days in mourning, and no doubt it was sad when Jesus died and they missed him, just like we mourn and we grieve when we lose a loved one. Listen, they were preparing spices for a dead man. They weren't preparing spices for a risen Savior. They had no anticipation that Jesus was actually going to be out of that grave that morning. But aren't you thankful for surprises and truth? Aren't you thankful that God's Word is still true regardless of what we think? There's a lot of it in there that I'd like to say, hey, I wish that wasn't there. Why? Because it just don't line up with who Drew thinks he ought to be. And if you'd be honest, there's things in there that would say, man, if Jesus and God wouldn't, and the Holy Ghost wouldn't have said this, my life would be a whole lot easier. I'd have a whole lot less sin in my life if God would have took that out of the Bible. Hey, should be some people amening right there. Just saying, but Jesus told them, hey, I'm not going to stay dead, folks. I'm going to rise again. But here they are. Oh, we miss you, Jesus. Some of these ladies were at the cross when he died. They listened to him preach. They were healed by him. He said, I'm going to not stay dead. I'm going to rise again. But here you are preparing for a dead Jesus. That's how many of us Christians are living. You say, what do you mean? How am I living like that? Folks, it's about time that we quit preparing like we serve a dead Savior. You saw the play. The devil fights it every single day, just like the devil fought these young boys trying to roll this stone away. You know what the devil's doing to you every time you try to do something good? He's fighting you, and he's pushing against you, and he's warring against you, the flesh warring against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. But folks, here's the deal. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not people that's our enemy. It's not places that's our enemy. It's not things that's our enemy. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We have an enemy, a devil, like as a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And why is it that so many born again, blood-bought believers are devoured every single day? Because we're living like we're serving a dead Savior. We don't believe Jesus is coming back. Half of us don't even believe that he's even alive today. Say, what do you mean? I mean, you're living for yourself. Folks, living for Jesus means it's not about you. Living for Jesus is not spending 3 days mourning after being told by the Savior himself face to face that I'm not going to stay dead. If they'd have believed him, they wouldn't have been preparing ointment for a dead man, would they? No, no. They'd have been there rejoicing, saying, hey, just a few more hours, Jesus is going to rise again. I know he's going to rise again because he told me he was going to rise again. But instead, it's as if that message that Jesus said to them was just, you know, your parents used to tell you it went in one ear and what? Out the other. Anybody ever had that told to them? That's what happened to these people here. In one ear and out the other. Oh, he said he was going to rise again, but I could picture the conversation. Maybe somebody spoke up and said, that is kind of strange that he's going to rise again, but do you remember that time when we went down there to Bethany and we came up to a man's tomb named Lazarus? And Lazarus was dead for 4 days. And Jesus stepped on the scene and he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus didn't argue. He opened up the grave and Lazarus stepped out in obedience. I could picture the conversation going, hey, you remember the time when we said, how are we going to feed all these people? You remember that blind man that came to Jesus? You remember that woman as we were trying to walk through the crowd, the woman that just reached out by faith and said, if I could but touch the hem of his garment. Do you guys remember that? Do you remember the lame man whom we busted open the roof and let him down just so he could get a glimpse of Jesus? Do you remember how our faith made them whole? By the way, if you read your Bibles there, you'll see it was the disciples' faith that healed the lame man. Not even the lame man's faith. I could picture these conversations taking place. And then there's old Doubting Thomas. Yeah, but I saw what happened to him. From a distance, by the way. I wasn't there at the cross. I didn't follow him to the death. I saw from a distance. There's no way, after what just happened to him, that he's rising again. And somehow they were convinced to prepare for a dead Savior? How can we start preparing like Jesus is alive? If we really believe Jesus was alive and risen, did you know it would burden us to tell more people about Him? You say, what do you mean? I mean, I mentioned it to you Wednesday. I wonder how many people this week just slipped a gospel track into somebody. Maybe you're not comfortable talking to people like that. But I wonder how many people this week in a room of 100 people, whatever's in here, I don't know. But I can tell you this. How many of you would honestly in your heart say, I told someone about Jesus this week? Somebody knows more about Jesus because I took the time to tell them, because I care about their soul. Could you imagine if 100 people told 100 people about Jesus this next week? And then maybe 3 or 4 of them got saved. And then those 3 or 4 told 3 or 4 more. And then those 3 or 4 told 3 or 4 more. Folks, that's what somebody does that believes that Jesus is a risen Savior and that He's coming back. They have a burden for lost souls. It would burden us that we had a Savior who died and gave all for us. I wonder, are you in the crowd preparing for a dead Savior, or are you preparing for a resurrected Savior? You don't have to answer that out loud, but you know in your heart this morning, either you're one of two people. You're preparing for a dead Savior and you don't care who dies around you. It ain't your soul. You could care less. You got what you got us for, no more. Me and my family's going to heaven as long as I see my wife and kids there. That's all I care about. Shame on you. You're living like you're serving a dead Savior. Meanwhile, the truth is, He's alive and well. He's resurrected. He's given you new life. Hey, it's time we start serving a resurrected Savior. Verse number 2, I like this part. And they found the stone what, folks? You know what I'm thankful for this morning? I'm thankful that their poor preparation did not change the eternal resurrection power. You know what else I'm thankful for? I'm thankful that no matter how I live my life, thank God it's not about Drew. And don't take this for granted, because, you know, it isn't about you. And Jesus Christ is still coming back to fulfill all righteousness. He's still coming back for His church. Don't ever take it for granted. Oh, it doesn't matter what I do. Don't join into the Calvinistic crowd about how, well, if they're going to get saved, they're already going to get saved. If they're not, they're not. That is not true. That's not in your King James Bible. It never has been. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. And you're part of the go ye if ye are blood bought and born again this morning. That's part of you. Don't ever believe, well, it ain't my job. Folks, it is your job. It is your job to tell someone about Jesus. Jesus told them the third day He would be raised again. Look at Matthew chapter 17 this morning. Matthew chapter number 17. But I'm thankful God don't work on my time. He don't work on my schedule. I'm thankful that although they prepared ointment for a dead Savior, that He didn't just say, well, they're preparing for me to be dead. I think I'll just stay here. Aren't you thankful Jesus is who He said He was? And by the way, He still is. Look at Matthew chapter 17 in verse 22. This is previous. And while they abode in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, the Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall what? And the third day He shall be what? He's telling of Himself. And they were exceeding sorry. Well, just like He told them He would rise again, He has told us, folks, that He's coming again. What are we preparing for? Let me ask you this. What if Jesus were to come back while I'm preaching this morning? How many of you know someone that just wouldn't make it? More than likely by their testimony. You'll never know their heart like they and the Lord will. But maybe the Lord's put someone on your heart this morning that don't know Christ. Folks, let me tell you something. They could be the best person in the whole wide world compared to me and you. They could be excellent people, nice people, never hurt anybody, never harmed anybody, did things for people. Let me tell you something, without Jesus Christ, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. And they're going to spend eternity in a devil's hell where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. I'm not here to lie to you this morning. I'm not here to sugarcoat it. I don't want you to go out of here today thinking, hey, that I'm good enough to make it there, because that's a lie. You're not good enough. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. He that cometh unto me must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's not about who you are. It's not about where you are. It's not about what you are. It's not about your mama and daddy. It's not about how long you've been in church, how much you've given to the church, what your last name is. I don't care. If you are not a son of God, blood-bought, born again, folks, you're going to die and you're going to hell. And the people that God has put on your mind this morning, that maybe he's given you ample opportunities to witness to, and you just said, tried too many times. What if the person that led you to Christ would have had that mentality? What if the person would have just said, how many of y'all got saved the very first time you heard the gospel? I mean, it's okay, some people do. But it wasn't me. 2.5 years later, I decided that I didn't want to go to hell. And I'm thankful I've been saved ever since. Amen. Y'all all right with that? That's called eternal security. That's biblical in your King James Bible. You can't lose what you didn't gain. You did nothing to gain it, therefore you can do nothing to lose it. Don't believe me? Read the book of Romans chapter number 8. It's in there. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I'm thankful that I can't lose my salvation, because here's the deal. If I could, man, I'd have to get saved 5, 8, 12, 20 times a day. Oh, I had a bad thought. Lord, save me again. How many times did Jesus die? He died unto sin once for you to believe the heresy, the lie, that you can lose your salvation is the same thing as you believing that, one, Jesus' death was not good enough. Why did he die? For all sin. Well, here's another thing I want to let you in on. None of you were a thought in anybody's mind except his at that time. None of you had ever committed a sin then. But if he died for all sin and you believe that your sins have been forgiven, hey, he died for past, present, and future sins. So your sin has already been paid for. Don't live under the lie that you can lose what you did not gain. Just like he told them he would rise again, he has told us he's coming again. How are we preparing? I'm thankful God rolled the stone away from a borrowed tomb, aren't you? Aren't you glad he borrowed it? At least somebody had enough faith to say, hey, I won't need this very long, but let me borrow that tomb. Old Joseph knew. He had it figured out. He said, hey, dude's only going to be there 3 days. You know what I'm saying? And today's terms, we might be like, bro. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Teenagers, right? I told somebody I'd say that in the message. They dared me. I had to do it. I had to figure out how to poke it in there somewhere. Luke chapter 24, back over there. Luke chapter 24, verse 3 through 5. The Bible says, And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord, Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Can I say, we see here the continued disbelief. Why were they still looking for a dead Savior? You would think that at this moment, somebody would have had some flashbacks, Brother Tim. I mean, I'm sitting here thinking, like, somebody's like, man, he did tell us that he was going to rise again. But no, somebody must have stole them. Come on, guys. Look in there, the grave clothes are neatly laid down. Did they strip him of his clothes and then, come on. Somebody wasn't thinking at all, were they? But you know, that's just like us. We get to the tomb and we're like, well, he's not here, but surely he isn't risen. Surely Jesus isn't actually alive. Surely I can still go on about my life the way I want to, right? Surely I can still go on appealing and fulfilling the lust of my flesh. Amen? And finally, somebody asked the question, why seek ye the living among the dead? Folks, it's time we realize we serve a risen Savior. We indeed, this is no fairy tale. I hate it when you tell the story and people just like, oh, here it is, the story again. Folks, it is not a fairy tale, the story about Jesus Christ. He was a real human being for 33 and a half years. He's been a real God for eternity. He will always be the God of eternity. He is the God of this creation. He created everything. He created you. He created me. He created everything that we're ever going to be. Listen, God really did send his only begotten Son Jesus down from the right hand of the Father to come and live in the flesh and dwell among men for 33 and a half years, all to die for the sin of all mankind, to be buried and to raise again, to walk in newness of life. People often wonder, why is baptism important? Hey, Jesus got baptized, but it wasn't to get saved. He got baptized to fulfill all righteousness. That's why we baptize in submersion. You know, it's a picture of the death, the burial, and the what? Resurrection of Jesus Christ. Hey, folks, the water doesn't save people. Amen. Jesus Christ, he that believeth. It's believing you get baptized because you are saved, not to get saved. Please don't rest your eternity on the fact that you've jumped into a swimming pool and put your head under the water. Y'all all right? Everybody would be saved. We'd have saved people all over the place. If that's true, why don't we just have pool parties at church once a month? Y'all all right? But some people believe it. Oh, I got baptized. It burdens me to hear stories like, please, preacher, pray for my son and my daughter. They're off living in the world, living like the world, but the only thing I got to rest assured is they were baptized when they were kids. So I know where they're going when they die. I said, me too. I didn't want to break his heart. What I wanted to say was, sir, if you're resting on that, you're resting on emptiness. You're resting on nothing. Don't ever be confused. No one's ever been saved by baptism. You ever read the story about that thief on the cross? Where in that story did he come off there and somebody baptized him? Jesus is a liar if that thief's, or you know what I'm saying? He said, today you'll be with me what? You think Jesus is a liar? That thief's been in heaven for a long time. That was the first blood-bought man there ever was, recorded. He believed on the name of the Son of God, and thou shalt be what? Saved. I didn't hear him saying, hey, but wait a minute. Where's the preacher at? Get me down here. I need to get baptized, or I can't make it in. No, no, no. He had already believed. And Jesus said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And folks, God's not a liar. Thief still saved. Amen. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, whatever men may say. What is it going to take to convince you that God's not dead? Not just at church, but at home. What is it going to take for some sons and daughters to look up to mom and dad and say, you know what? Their Savior's not dead. They're not living like Jesus is dead. They're doing everything they can in their power to make sure that we know that Jesus Christ is a resurrected Savior. They're pressing on through the hard times. They're not quitting in the hard times. I said they're not quitting in the hard times. They're not throwing in the towel. They keep press on. Onward, Christian soldiers. Folks, that's what we are, soldiers in the army of a living God. And what happens in a war if all the soldiers just threw their guns down and started backpedaling? You think the enemy's going to quit? Oh no, he's about to pursue even stronger because now all he sees is weak. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want to be labeled weak, and I don't want to be labeled no quitter. I ain't no quitter. Quitters never win, right? Ever. Don't throw in the towel. Verse number 6. He is not here, but he is what? Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. He's risen just like he promised. Jesus is alive. You say, well, how can I know this Savior? Folks, look, I've spent a lot of time trying to convince you this morning that we do not serve a dead Savior. We had a play, and yeah, it was emotional seeing, but can I tell you something? I'm sure no doubt that brought tears to some of your eyes. The people we saw here kneeling down with the brokenness and the dead and the bondage, that's real stuff that people go through every day. That's the devil having a good time up here preying on weak people that are hurting. But here's the reality. I wouldn't want you to leave here this morning without hearing this. I want you to know that there is a way. There's some help for you. Say, how can I know this Savior? I don't even know who you're talking about. I believe in God. Look, let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that the devils believe in God. But you know what they don't do? They don't believe on God. They don't trust God for salvation. They know that God is real. Hey, knowing God is real is not going to get you to heaven. Say, well, what will get me to heaven? Well, let me help you this morning. Please listen. If you're just now tuning in, tune in 100%. Listen up. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through what, church? Faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You say, what does that mean? Well, let's look at it. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith. What is grace? I like to think of it like this. God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what grace is. It's what you can receive by faith. What is faith? Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. We see that in the book of Hebrews. It's the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Not a single one of us has ever seen God. But oh, we can hope for God. And we can by faith believe that He is who He says He is. But it says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. What does that mean? That means there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to gain heaven. You're not good enough. I hate to break the news to you. I'm not good enough. You're not good enough. Mama's not good enough. Daddy's not good enough. Little Johnny's not good enough. Little Susie's not good enough. Nobody's good enough to get there in and of themselves. Oh, but we have a risen Savior. The Bible says it is the gift of God. Not a gift. It is the gift of God. Not of works. What do you mean not of works? I can't work my way there. No, you can't work your way there. But I've led people to Christ before. That's fine. All you did was be a messenger. But it's never been about the messenger. It's always been about the message. Always been about the message. Sure, a lost man can take the living word of God and lead someone to Christ. Why? Because it's not about the lost man. It's about the conviction of the Holy Ghost through the living word that has been given. And guess what? Happens all the time. I've seen preachers walk an aisle and say, hey, I've been preaching this gospel, seen thousands of people saved, been pastoring a church, but I'm lost and I'm dying and I'm going to hell. But now the Holy Spirit of God is convicting me unto salvation. Yeah, for years I served. Yeah, I'll have a lot of people on an account up there somewhere, but I'd have died and went to hell without Christ. Because it's not about works, folks. The only work it's about is the finished work of Calvary and the finished work of a resurrected Savior. That is the work that it's about. It's already been done, already been paid for. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. What do you mean, lest any man should boast? Hey, you ever met someone who's pretty proud of what they do? You ever met someone who ain't afraid to tell you they're proud of what they do? You should see all the stuff I do down there at that church. If I ever say that, just tell me to shut up. Because it is not about me. It is about Him and what He has done for me. And the least that I could do is give Him my life to do whatever He wants to do with it. No exceptions. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. The moment I died to myself and said, God, would you just make me what you want me to be? He said, it's about time, son. It's about time that you died to yourself and your selfish desires. Now let me start molding you into a preacher. I spent my whole childhood thinking about one thing, baseball. That's all I cared about. I didn't care about anything else. I mean, honestly. I mean, I love my family and my friends, but church wasn't a thing. I didn't care about that. I was looking forward to the next time I could put my glove on and go out and pitch a baseball and hit a bat. That's all I cared about. Busted a lot of windows, hitting rocks with broomsticks. Why? Because I wanted to get better. And I got good at that. But how good at this could I have gotten if I'd have died to myself and gave God everything at age 9 when He saved me? Who knows where I'd be today if I'd have chose to give God everything at that age. He took me on a 6,000-mile round trip all the way to Seward, Alaska for 14 years and back to mold me into what He needed me to be, a pastor. And no, that's not what I desired way back then. But let me tell you something about God. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. See, He knew who I needed to be. But there's something else He knew that I didn't. He was the only one that could get me there. The only one. We've got to die to self. It's not of works. Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Miss Barb's going to come this morning. I'm going to finish up. I got a couple more scriptures I want to give you. The piano's going to start playing. I want you to heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. No one looking around. This is an all-important time here, okay? I know it's Resurrection Sunday, and I'm thankful for those of you who are saved, but I want to give those of you who are not saved an opportunity to not leave this place without knowing in your heart if the Holy Spirit has convicted you this morning. I don't want you to leave here without knowing that God wants to save you. In John 3:16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hey, no one looking around this morning, listen. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, Brother Drew, I do not know if I died today that I'm going to go to heaven. I do not know that heaven is going to be my home. Listen, I'm going to tell you this. I wouldn't go to hell for anybody. Don't worry about what they think that's sitting next to you. Let them laugh themselves all the way to a place that they deserve. If they want to mock Jesus and mock His name, hey, don't let them mock you and damn you to a devil's hell. So I'm going to ask you this morning, I wonder, just with an uplifted hand, I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to say anything to you. I just want to pray for you. No one looking around, please. I wonder how many would say, Brother Drew, I don't know if I died this morning that heaven would be my home. Would you just lift up your hand and let me just pray for you? There's one right there. I can pray for more. Hey, no one looking around. I see your hand, brother. Anyone else? I do not know, Brother Drew, that heaven is going to be my home. If I were to die today, but I certainly don't want to go to hell. Is there anyone in here like that? Anyone else? Okay. I wonder how many would say, Brother Drew, I know I'm saved. How many would just raise your hand and say, I know I'm saved? Good. Put your hands down. Now, I wonder this morning, listen, this altar's open. The live stream's off. No one's watching you from outside anymore. This altar's wide open. I wonder how many of you would just say this morning, Brother Drew, I'm saved, but I've been living like I'm serving a dead Savior. And I'm about tired of living like that. Is there anyone in here like that? I've been preparing too long for a dead Savior. But Brother Drew, I realized this morning, Jesus is alive and well, and I need to start acting like it. Anyone would just be honest and say, that's me. Hey, look, you don't have to leave here the same way you came. There's an altar right here. You can humble yourself before a mighty God this morning and ask God to change your heart and ask God to help you off in this world.